Okay, good evening, Rabosai. I don't remember if it was Sukkot or Pesach, there was one of the family members, the father-in-law of one of our shul members, came to shul on, I don't remember if it was Sukkot or Pesach, and this father-in-law is an elderly gentleman. I believe he's a survivor of the Holocaust, and he makes his way to Daven regularly, and he's in a wheelchair, very, very elderly. And he happens to be a Kohen. And the issue was, I don't remember exactly what the issue was, if the issue was that he wasn't able to stand or he wasn't able to hold up his arms. And the question is, we know that one of the dinim, as we'll see shortly, of Nesias Kapayim, Duchening, is standing, as we'll see. Another one of the halachas is raising up one's hands. And what I want to open with is, perhaps a person who can't stand or has some kind of problem with his feet might have a mum. And maybe the fact that the person has a mum might render that person unfit for Nesias Kapayim, for Duchening. So the discussion really begins in a place where you would least expect it. And I say least expect it, I mean least expect it. In halachas, in Priya Verivya, where it talks about who you're allowed to marry, and talks about a person who's a Petsua Daka, somebody who had a genital injury, and such a person who has an injury to the genital area is usher from marrying a regular person. The Shulchan Aruch there says that this person who's a Petsua Daka in source number one, this Evan HaEzer Simen Hay, somebody who's a Petsua Daka or a Kru Shifcha who has one of those injuries at that part of the body, is not allowed to marry a regular Jewess. However, mutarim b'giyores u'mishuchreres. He, like a ger, is permitted to somebody who's not considered a regular kahal Yisrael, but rather a giyores is okay, or a freed shivcha is okay. Look at the next five words. Va'afilu kohen shehu petzua daka. We know that a kohen is also to marry a giyores. Midoraisa, because a giyores is considered somebody who we assume lived, had intimate relations with a guy. We just assumed that that was the case, whether or not she actually did. And therefore, anybody who had relations with a guy has a din of a zona. And one of the Surim Doraisa for a Kohen is to marry a zona. So every giores, even if she's a very prude, modest woman, and always was, she has a din of a zona. And therefore, a Kohen is, of course, not allowed to marry a zona nor a giores. But nevertheless, if he's a Psua Daka, says the Shulchan Aruch, he is. That makes a Kohen allowed to marry Giyoros, which is sort of incredible. If there's you hear stories about a guy who is a Kohen and he meets this beautiful Giyoros, well, we have the solution. All you have to do is make yourself a Tzedaka, and that's a heter, if you want to go that route. I mean, it's also a complicated shaila, how a person became a Tzedaka, were they mutilated, or were they born with the genital injury? But that's not for us now. But what the Shulchan Aruch has passed is that a Kohen, who's a Petsua Daka, is allowed to marry a Giyores, Lefi She'eno B'Kedushaso. So it sounds, from those last three words of the Shulchan Aruch, Lefi She'eno B'Kedushaso, it sounds like he's not a Kohen. A Kohen, why should a Kohen who's a Petsua Daka not be a Kohen?
He cannot do that.
You're jumping a step.
A mum.
It sounds like he's a mum. It sounds like a mum makes you not a Kohen. And that's the diuk of the Chalkas Mechokek. We'll get there. That's true. It sounds like that's the diuk that the Chalkas Mechokek makes in source number two. Mashma duha din grusha v'chalala. If he's allowed to marry a Giyores, presumably he can marry anybody else on the list of prohibited women. So again, he can marry. It sounds like he's not Bikdusha. So he had a mum, therefore he's messed up from his kahuna status. He could do whatever. He can marry all of the prohibited women. And similarly, look at the next underlined line, the second paragraph. V'chein ein alav shum kedusha as kohen, it sounds like. K'gon l'tami l'meisim, v'lisa kapav. D'me'ach ha'sha'ata matir b'giyores. She's zona to kra. Once you're permitting him to marry Giyores, and she's considered a zona, hu hadin she'ar mitzvah kahuna, and therefore this gentleman is kizar ba'alma. What this chokas mechokek is paskening, a wild psak, to be honest, that a kohen who has a mum is not a kohen. And therefore, he says explicitly, cannot duchen. If we stop here, If you have a fellow who's not a, who's a Kohen and a wonderful person and a tzaddik gomer but has a mum, he does not have a halach of a Kohen. It's true, you pointed out, Mr. Bloom, that he might be able to eat kachim. That's a good point. But he's not, apparently, he's not considered a Kohen. He's allowed to go to base kvaros. He can marry any woman he wants, and he's not going to be able to do nesias kapayim.
It's different than tzuadaka, than someone in a wheelchair because of his age. He cannot.
You're right. If it's just his age, that might not be a mum. You're right. You're right. I'm talking about a person as a mum.
What about if he's blind?
Blind is a mum.
Is a mum?
So yes. We'll get there. Well, the Shulchan Aruch mentions is blind. What? Oh, if a guy is a Kohen and he gets a mum and he breaks
later.
His arm, I don't think that'll make
it. Later.
Shulchan
Aruch. No, later.
I don't know
they
the answer,
before.
But I don't think so.
He's talking about they were born.
Yeah, afterwards.
They were born after. They were born after he became.
Yeah, I don't know the answer. Does a Psua Daka have to be sterile? I don't know the answer. Don't know the answer. Okay. So that's the sheet of the Chalkas Mechalkek, that a Kohen with a mum is out. He's out. Three outs. He's out. Inning over. And he's not going to be able to do an Asiyas Kapayim. Comes the Beis Shmuel in source number 3. And he says, no. You're mixing everything up. All the Shulchan Aruch said was one tiny little thing. All the Shulchan Aruch said was that he's allowed to marry a Gioris. You know why? It's not that, because since he has a mum, he can marry a Gioris and everybody else, and he's not a Kohen, and he's a Chal, and he could do go to the basic Kvaros, and he could, he can't do Dukhani. No, he's allowed to marry a Gioris. Only one thing, you know why? Because Gioris is more lenient than all the other Yisurei Kohuna. Says the Beis Shmuel. Why is that?
Maybe she was Zona.
Exactly. I'll say it in different words. She's not really, really, really a Zona. It's just that we consider her to be halachically like a Zona. Therefore, as the Beis Shmuel says, Lefisha Ein, top line, say a few words in, Lefisha Ein Mefurish Lav of a Gioras Batorah. And therefore, since it's not Mefurish Batorah, it's more lenient than all the other Yisurim for a Kohen. And that's why if there's a Kohen who also has is a Ptsua Daka, we let him marry a Gioris. Don't go and jump, like the Chalkas Mechogik jump to say, if you can marry a Gioris, you could, eat Chazer, eat on Yom Kippur, be Bol Arayis, and steal. No, it doesn't mean just because you could marry a Gioris, you're allowed to do all the Yisuri Kohuna. It just means you're allowed to marry a Gioris. So the Chalkas Mechogik says, and everything else you could do. Bishmuel says, no. This guy is a regular Kohen with all the Yisurei Kohuna, except for the one that's not Mefurish Bikro, which is marrying a Gioris. So if he's a Ptua Daka who has such a limited population of women who he's allowed to marry anyway, so we'll give him the dispensation to give him a Gioris anyway, it's not Mefurish Bikro. That's a gigantic machlokas that we have here.
Is this a problem of the Rabbanan knocking out of the Raisa? You have an Issa Raisa to marry a Chalola and you're saying over here that in Midrabbanan you can now knock out. How does that work that Midrabbanan can knock out a Daraisa?
You're asking a good question. I think if I would have learned the Beis Shmuel more thoroughly, I would have the answer to your question. I don't have the answer to your question. I'm not sure if that's the status. It's not really, I don't know if it's really an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's really an Issa D'Oraisa, but it's a lower level Issa D'Oraisa. It's not Mefurish Bikra,
is
I think.
Is
That's a pasuk. That's a pasuk. Isha zona v'chalala me'isha lo yikach. It's a pasuk. Isha grusha me'isha zona v'chalala lo yikach. Yeah, it's a pasuk. Zona is explicit in the Torah, and we apply it also to gioris, but that's not mefurish b'kara. Therefore, it's on a lower level. So, what do we have here? We have a machlokas. We have machlokas beis chalkas mechokik and beis Shmuel. If you have a guy who has a mum, could he? Is he a kohen? Could he dochen? It seems to be, like apple pie. Easy. Machlokas, achronim. Comes the Pesachei Tshuva on the Shulchan Aruch and clarifies. He says, what does it mean if you look at the last three words of that Shulchan Aruch? If you look at the last three words of the Shulchan Aruch in source number one, who sounds right? The Shulchan Aruch in source number one finishes off, a Kohen who also has this injury is allowed to marry Gioras, And it concludes, what does the Shulchan Aruch on top say? Lefi she'enu b'kedusha, so. It sounds from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch that he is not just a heter of Giyor. It sounds like he's because he's not a Kohen. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, no. What that means is, enu b'kedusha, so hainu rak le'inyan, kedushas hazivug. As far as marriage is concerned, he's not a regular b'kedusha, so. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva says. Don't bring me any proofs from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, no. The Beis Shmuel could explain that it just means about marriage. So what do we have? We have a gigantic machlokas. With this machlokas, we could move forward which to the following shaila. In shaila Sotra's Mishnah Halachos, this is Menashe HaKadon Klein. Am I making a mistake? I think it's Menashe HaKadon Klein. He says the following. We know that we have Cholent here and we have Kugel here. Are there any Kohanim here? Good, so then I could take first. However, were there to be a Kohen, of course, the Kiddushto obligates us to give the Kohen the Manarishon. He gets the Kishka. He gets the Fleisch in the Chalant. So the question that one could ask is, let's say you have a guy who's at your table, who's a Baal Mum and a Kohen. Do you have to give him the Kishka? Does he have to bench? Do we apply the din of a Kiddushto of honoring Kohanim to a Kohen who has a mum? So what would you say? You'd say, hey, this should be totally on the machlokas that we just learned. We just said there's a machlokas for Kohen has a mum. Does he have his dine kedusha? Does he not have his dine kedusha? Well, presumably, the kiddushto, honoring a Kohen, is just one of those halachas of a Kohen. And therefore, it should be machlokas that we just saw. Says the Shas Chos Mincha, says Rasha Kadon Klein, that's not possible. It's not possible. You know why? Because there's an explicit pasuk that talks about this. How could you have machlokas achrona about something that's an explicit pasuk? Look in the second paragraph of Surah number 5. To Mikra Malihu, I put the words in italics. The pasuk says, Emor el hakohanim, bnei aharon. Do you notice that there was a repetition? It says hakohanim, and then it adds bnei aharon. Emor el hakohanim, bnei aharon. V'marta leil nefesh lo yitamah be'amav. You're not allowed to become tamei. What do we do with those extra two words, bnei aharon? So if you look at Rashi on that word, those words of Chumash, Rashi quotes a sifri. You pierce Rashi b'shem ha-sifri. I underlined it, the bottom underlining of the page. Bnei aharon. Af Bale Mumin B'mashma. Those extra two words, B'nei Aharon, more than just Hakonim. B'nei Aharon is to tell you that even Bale Mumim are also to become Tamei.
Maybe it's only Torah.
That's fine. But either way, you're making a good point. He concludes from this pasuk, Hare Mikra Mali, it's an explicit pasuk, De Bale Mumin Kedushasam Aleim. They are bound with, they do have a halach of a Kohen. I'm sorry? Chalkas Mechokek, look at the Chalkas Mechokek, it says, Mashma Duha Din, Grusha V'Chachalach.
He's talking about Psuadak, he's not talking about Stamamot. Psuadak is Nisakhal. Nisakhal, as we know, is much different than Balmot. Balmot is
No, Psuadak is one of the Mumim of a Kohen. It happens
right,
to be one of the Mumim of a Kohen.
The reason why Psuadak would be different than other Balmumim is because he is an Isakhal.
So he should be worse.
He's worse, exactly. That
so then, I see what you're saying. But you're sort of adding apples and oranges. You're saying in Hilchas Kahuna, he's a Balmum. In Hilchas Judaism, he's a Ptuadaka. If we put them in a blender and mix it together, then he should be a worse Kohen. But it's apples and oranges. I don't know if you can mix. You're mixing two different types of Isurim to make it.
No, but
the fact that Sudaka is a loyal Bakal Hashem.
Right,
he's
a
loyal Bakal Hashem.
He's just like a
Mamzer Kohen. He's not compared to a Kohen. Is that so? I don't remember. That could be. Not sure if that's true. Could be. Okay. So we have here is the Mishnah Halacha says that the Chelkas Mechokek forgot a pasuk. It's an explicit pasuk that even if you are a Baal Mum, you're still a Kohen. You have all the halachas of at least Isur B'Tami Meis, and presumably all the Isurim of a Kohen. So with this in mind, let's go to what will seemingly be an explicit Gemara. So it's only five words long. The Gemara is talking about can a Baal Mum. You can see it's explicit. Can a Baal Mum do Birchas Kohanim? Which really was the question that we started with tonight. Could this fellow who's a Baal Mum comes to Shul on Yontif or in Eretz Yisrael every day? Could he? I had an uncle who worked on a kibbutz. Wasn't religious, but if he were, we'd have the Shaila. And he wasn't a Kohen, but if he was a Kohen, we'd have the Shaila. If he was religious and a Kohen, we'd have the Shaila. He was in working on the kibbutz, and he was on the tractor in decades ago. He's nifter since. The tractor went up on a mine. And the fellow who was next, he was supposed to be the driver that day. He switched. For whatever reason, the other fellow who was the driver got killed. And he, who was in the non-driver's seat, lost part of his leg. So, if he'd be in Eretz Yisrael, and if he would be a Kohen, if he would be religious, I mean, he wasn't Eretz Yisrael, if he would be a Kohen, if he would be religious, so he'd have this Shaila. He's a Baal Mum. And I'm sure, Hashem, I mean, Kodesh Baruch should protect us, but I'm sure out of the population of Frum army soldiers in Eretz Yisrael, there's definitely a number of them that are Kohanim, and I'm sure that of the Kohanim, there's definitely a number that have been injured in the line of duty. It happens to be, by the way, that Eretz Yisrael is very advanced in terms of not just prosthetic devices and assisted aids for people with different injuries because they have a higher proportion of the population that Rachman Atzlan injured because of battle. So would such a person be able to dochen? Let's look at this Gemara. That's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara suggests, we know that Sheirus, to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, of course a Kohen can't do. A Baal Mum can't do. If you're a Baal Mum, you can't do Avodah. Look at the Gemara on top of page 2. Imam Isharis, just like serving in the Beis HaMikdash, Baal Mum lo, Af Kohen, maybe also we should say, Af Kohen Mevareso to a Kohen who benches, Klal Yisrael, Kohen who dochens, also Baal Mum lo, should not be able to, should we make that hekesh? Answers the Gemara, don't make that hekesh, rather it's hekesh le-nazir, whatever that means. All it means is, don't make the hekesh, don't assume that just like a Baal Mum can't do avoda, so too he can't do birchas kohanim. Stop. What does that Gemara sound like? That Gemara is pretty explicit, that a Baal Mum can duchen. We have an explicit Gemara that says a Baal Mum can duchen. And we had before a pasuk that sounds that a Baal Mum has a din of a Kohen. So we have a pasuk, we have an explicit Gemara, and we have an explicit Tosus who speaks at this point ever so clearly. Tosus in Tainus, Daf Chav Zayin, says, Mikanira, de Baal Mum mevarech birchas Kohanim. By the way, there's a fascinating discussion. I don't think we have to go into it now, but if a Kohen goes off the derech and then comes back, could he duchen? Could he duchen? Why is that a shaila? I don't know if that's considered being meimir daso. That's really going off the derech. That's, you know, he converts to Christianity, then he comes back. So the halacha is that they're not, such a Kohen is not allowed to do avodah beis hamikdash, even if he does tshuva. Gemara says that a Kohen goes off the derech, he converts to whatever, comes back, we don't allow him to do the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, so if he can't work in the Beis HaMikdash, will we also say he can't duchen? Well, what did this Gemara just tell us? The Gemara just told us that we don't equate the two. Even though this guy who went off the derech cannot be ovated in the Beis HaMikdash, he still could duchen in the in shul. Fine. That's the end of the first sugya. It sounds from here that a Kohen who has a mum is still considered a Kohen. We rejected the Chalkas Mechokek, who started off the night saying that, oh, he's not a Kohen anymore, he lost everything. We rejected that. We said, no, a Kohen has a mum, he is a Kohen, and he can duchen. It's an explicit Pasuk, explicit Gemara, explicit Tosos. There's not much to argue. Either that Chalkas Mechokek must be totally, I don't know where he came from. Fine, that's what we assume right now. But wait a second. Maybe you're telling me that a Kohen with a mum can do can duchen? Can I share with you a halacha that you probably know where it sounds like a Kohen can't? A Kohen has a mum can't duchen? Tell me if you could think of the distinction. Look at the Gemara Megillah. It's a Mishnah. Mishnah Megillah. Most of you learned this Mishnah Megillah once or twice in your lives, if not more. Says the Mishnah Megillah, Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin, lo yiseis kapav. Oh my gosh, we just finished proving from a pasuk and a gemara and a tosus explicitly that a Kohen has a mum is a Kohen and it's kosher to do birchas Kohenim. What do you mean? It's a Mishnah Megillah that if you have a mum on your hand, you have a ward or on it. What?
You look at him when he's.
Right, you're going to look at him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Mishal Yodav Tzuos Satis, whatever that is. You have some paint on your hand. Lo Yisrael Kapam and Pnesha Amistaklin Bo. Says the Gemara, Mumin Sha'amru Bifanav Yodav Raglav. It gives you all different kinds of things that are wrong with your feet and hands. Those will all pass to you. So, could anyone tell me why? We just finished saying three different places to prove that a Kohen has a mum. Is kosher l'avoda. He's a Kohen and he could do, not the avoda, but he could do birchas Kohenim. So how come this mission is telling you that a Kohen who has a mum can't do the duchenim?
One's talking about something that's
the mum is not his
name. Exactly, exactly. The distinction is that a mum is not a psul. If you have a mum underneath, you know, on your belly button, that's totally fine. However, a mum that's
Visible, exposed
in your face, like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Gemara says, that it's in your hands, your face, your feet. That's where we are concerned. And the proof is, look at the end of the Gemara in source number 9, the middle of source number 9. Vim hayadosh b'iro, if he's well known in his city, mutter. What do you mean? You have a guy who has a mum. He lives in the city, and everyone knows he has twisted pinky. Or he has something on his face, he has a funny thing in his eye. It's a mum. He can't do avoda. But everybody knows him. So that makes him kosher? No, the answer is he is kosher. The only problem is that people will be distracted, will be looking at him funny while he's doing the avoda. So while he's doing the birchas konim. So it's a special halach in birchas konim that it's not a psul of a mum, it's a psul of a distraction. A special halach in hilchas Birchas Kohenim, you can't be distracted. And therefore, nothing to do with the sugi of Mumin. And therefore, if people are familiar with you, you live in the neighborhood, everyone knows you have, that's the guy with the funny thing, right? I remember in camp, Moshe the baker, he should live and be well, he was the baker. And at one point in his baking career, he lost a finger. I guess, you know, he worked with big knives, he lost a finger. And I remember, since I was a kid, every Friday Shabbos, I'd shake hands with him and you'd be shaking hands with a four-fingered person. But it was like that for decades. Everybody knew him. He was in the neighborhood. So he could duchen.
Does that apply today, though? Because Adam, you still think, put the talis.
Look at the Ramah. Look at the Ramah. You're mechamen to the Ramah. At some point, there'll be Ramah. Yeah, we're going to see Ramah in source number 13. Yes. So again, Let's jump. So obviously, there's a special halacha in Hilchas Birchas Kohenim that we're concerned with, not a shaila of mumin, but a shaila of distractions. Why is there this shaila of distractions? That you have to say. Rashi sounds like it's based on the Gemara Chagiga. Look at Gemara Chagiga, source number 12. This is something that we're familiar with. Kol mistakel b'shlosh advarim. The three instances that where the Gemara cites psukim that Hashem is shorer there. Keshes. Gemara quotes a pasuk that Hashem is visible or appears with the rainbow. Benasi, in the presence of the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, Hashem's presence is, you know, envelops him. And Kohanim, the Gemara explains, Hamistakul Kohanim is Masha Beis HaMikdash Kayam. Show you Om Dval Duchanim Varchon as Yisrael B'Shem HaMifarash. At that point, there was the Shechina with Shorah on their hands, or on them, and therefore it's problematic to look at them. So if that's the case, if you look at them, somehow, I'm sorry, the point is you're not allowed to look at them. But if the guy looks funny, all the people will be, you know, gawking. What happens when you're driving down the FDR? There's nothing wrong in your lane, and all of a sudden it slows down. What do you know that there is? An accident on the other side of the highway. Why? What are they doing? They're rubbernecking. What's rubbernecking? When you see something interesting, you want to see it. So if a guy has a mum, and he looks off, he looks different, he looks not regular, what do people want to do? They want to look. And that's not good, because in Birchas Kohenim, we say here that you can't look. So therefore, it's almost like a bat, you know, it's almost like scratching your head like this. There's no psul of a mum for Nesias Kapayim, for duchening. It's not even that there's something wrong for in Hilchos Nesias Kapayim that a person has something on his hands. It's just that we don't want you to look, and we know that if the guy has something wrong with his body and that's visible, people will look. So if we say that person can't do Nesias Kapayim, so that people won't look. Do you realize how convoluted this is? It's like three steps removed. Hold on.
It's 10 feet tall.
I just want to look at source number 13, which is what Dr. Fink pointed out. If the minig hamakom l'shal shal akodim atalas al pneihem, if the minig is that the kohanim cover over their faces, afil yesh befanav of yadav kamam lumen yisakapav. This whole psul is only to the extent that it's visible, because again, it's not a psul mum. It's a psul in this hilchis nesias kapayim. You can't be distracted. If you're covered over, there's no distraction. Of course, you have to keep your hands inside the talis, like the Rambam points out. Okay, so we finished the first half of the shir.
The other thing is that the Jews are not supposed to look at the kohanim.
Right.
Why? That's the Gemara Chagiga right here. That you're not supposed to look at the kohanim. The problem is if you see somebody interesting, you're gonna look. So you know what we say? Mister, you guy who looks interesting, please don't go up because we don't want them to look at you. Sort of funny. Because we're not supposed to look at them, therefore we don't let somebody who looks interesting go up because we might look at him, so we say, don't do it.
What if a coin is very tall? He's 12 feet tall.
Okay.
People are going to look at him, and he's not in the neighborhood. He's coming here. He can't do it? Because people are going to, woo! I think Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be a Kohen, but he became a Levi. And he was 20...
Ten Amos.
He was 20 feet tall.
According to Chazon Ish, he's 20 feet tall.
People would be staring at him.
So first of all, I don't know if that Gemara is...
That's my note from 20 years ago, I guess. That.
First of all, I don't know if that Gemara is literal. 10 is a Lashon Shleimus. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Shleimus of perfection. I don't know if it means he was literally 15 or 20 feet. Okay. The guy 10 feet tall, is that a mum? It's not one of the mumim. So that's not a problem. People looking at him?
Yeah, they're stuck with
him. I don't know, maybe.
Or very fat. Very big. Very... You know,
maybe. Could be.
I just my notes from years ago as a kid, I guess.
Maybe.
Said, well, maybe.
Could be. So now we have another issue we have to talk about. As long as nothing's noticeable, there's no psul, we rejected the chalkas mechokik that we brought in the beginning, we say there's no problem of amum when it comes to nesias kapayim. The only problem is looking funny. If you're covered over and nothing is visible, that's fine. If a guy's in a wheelchair, maybe, again, if it's because of a mummy's in a wheelchair, maybe that already is a distraction. In fact, I believe it is quite a distraction. You know, if a guy is in a wheelchair because he has an amputee or something, so that would probably be pretty much of a distraction, even though he's kosher for Nesias Kapayim, but since he's visibly distracting, that would itself eliminate him.
Somebody who's an amputee, they usually will put a blanket over body so that you can't see.
If that's the case,
so he's missing a leg.
Then that will be like this Shulchan Aruch in source number 13, that the Kohanim have a talus over their face. And you're right, it could be a talus over their hands or it could be a blanket over their feet. Depends on the circumstance, right? Okay. Let's look at number two. This is the second half of the shiur. The second half of the shiur is a totally different sugya, unrelated to the first sugya. And that is another critical component of Nesias Kapayim, is that the Kohanim have to stand, which we'll learn right now. And the question there will be, what if the guy can't stand? Does that mean he just should duchen sitting down, or he shouldn't duchen at all? You know where this shaila comes up? The shaila comes up, I mean, not with duchening, but I've gotten the shaila many times, especially from women. They have two choices. They could either daven on the train, or on the bus, or in the car, sitting down. Or they daven at home in like 4 seconds. So they daven like a match, and they all expect the answer to be
sit on the train.
It's right to daven with kavana. I don't think that's the correct answer. I mean, the correct answer is to wake up early enough that they could daven properly at home. But davening sitting down is it's not just like, oh, I can't do it, so just sit down. It's not like that. It's much more complicated, much more significant than that. Well, anyway, that's a tangent. Let's look at the Gemara that, again, we might have learned in Sota Lamed Ches. I think Rashi on a pasuk quotes it. Ko Sevar Achu Es B'nei Yisrael, the Torah says to the Kohanim on top of page 3. Ko Sevar Achu, the Gemara Darshins, Ba'amida. What? Where do you see the words Ko Sevar Achu? Anything about standing? I said, like this, you shall bless. Where do you see Ba'amida? In fact, the Gemara, to Omer, Bamido, Eno, La, Fil, B'Yeshiva, do you have to tack it stand? Answer the Gemara, Ne'amar, Kan, Kos, Tavarachu, Ne'amar, La'alan, Ela, Ya'amdu, Levarech. Oh, the Lashon, the root, Beis, Reish, Chaf, that is used by Har Griezmann, Har Eval, of Ela, Ya'amdu, Levarech, there by Har Griezmann, Har Eval, it talks about standing, Levarech. So here, too, the word, Barech, that the Kohanim are spoken to, also, mal halam v'amida af kam v'amida. So it's some kind of hekesh or gzera shava. It's not that the word ko, nor the word sivarachu, has anything to do with standing. It's just that we're making a hekesh or gzera shava with the word sivarachu to the one that's written by Har Griezmann where it says explicitly to stand. So therefore we learned a hekesh that you have to stand. So if I would ask you a question right this second, Rabosai, is standing for birchas kohanim midarais or midarabanan? What would you say? If this is a hekesh is daraisa. So if we stopped right here, we might conclude that there's a din daraisa that the kohen stands during birchas kohanim. Mal halon x afkan x. That's called a hekesh.
Similar, but not necessarily.
You're entitled to say that. You're entitled to say that. Fine. Rabbi Nosson says, you don't have to come on to something so distant. I have a much better pasuk to show you. Eino tzarach. Harei Omer, the pasuk says, l'sharso u'levarech b'shmo. That the kohen is there to serve him, meaning to do the avod in the base of Mikdash, and to levarech, to do birchas kohenim. So you see, what does the pasuk itself do? Is the pasuk is linking it, more than linking, the pasuk is equating serving, you know, davod in the Beis Hamikdash to duchening. Ma mishoris b'amida, just as avod in the Beis Hamikdash is b'amida, af mevarech b'amida. Fine, as it says explicitly, la mod l'shoris, you have to stand while you do the avod. So, it's clearly a pasuk that learned out from the psukim that you have to stand. We're going to have to see how serious this is. I wrote in my letters, is this from the Torah, is it Rabbanan, is it Lachatchil, is it B'diavad? So now, we're going to go into the last part of the shir, which is a vehement argument between what we have here in Surah 16 and Surah 17, between the Shuvas Yaakov and the Noda Yehuda. And after, we're not going to go through the whole Shuvas of either of them, but look at the Shiloh that the Shuvas Yaakov was asked. This Shuvas Yaakov is mentioned, maybe not, we'll see how we paskin shortly, but it does make its way into the current poskin. I got a shayla mi kohen echad, charid. He's a charedi kohen. V'yarias Hashem. We're all charedim. No. The definition of a charedi is that yarias Hashem. We're all charedim. We're all yarias Hashem. That's what my Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen. Anybody had Rabbi Yitzchak, one of your colleagues? Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, my high school Rebbe used to teach us. In MTA, we're all charedim. We're all charedim is Dvar Hashem. We're all fear Hashem. Shuzake, so I got a shayla from this Chared V'yarias Hashem, an elderly Zake, an elderly Kohen, Shuzake, and Sayyamim, Karv L'Shmonim. Umikoa Chulsha Zikra, because of the weakness of his agedness, Eni Yachal Amod, Kishnozi Kappa, he can't stand. So the question is, could he do Nesias Kappai, Kshu Yoshev, while he's sitting, or Samach, or he's leaning, is that okay? That's our shayla. So we're putting the Mum issue aside. Let's say there's no issue, like the Chazan said before, just because you're in a wheelchair has nothing to do with mumim, maybe just somebody's weak. That's the reason. Tshuva. L'chor nira d'lo yisakapav. We just learned the Gemara together, right? Coast of the Gemara in Sota, we just saw in Source 14, passing in the Shulchan Aruch in Source 15, Coast of Archu, we said, is Ba'amida. And Tosus there, Kosov Tosus, which I didn't quote free, but he quotes Tosus, underline that Kohen Shabiach Biach is Kohen B'Yeshiva. Wow, look at these four words of Tosos. Lo Asa V'lo Klum. Not only are you not allowed to do it, L'chatchila, but even B'Di'evet, it didn't even
count.
Which to me sounds that if you did do it and you said Asher Kishan Sassavis, it was probably Brach L'Batala. That's pretty tense. Not only was it useless, meaningless, but it's also presumably a Brach L'Batala. Why? Because like we just explained, it's the din d'oraisa, that there's a hekesh that we saw on top of the amud. There's a hekesh between serving the Beis HaMikdash, which is Ba'amida, and Nisias Kapayim, which should be Ba'amida. Or it's a hekesh between Har Griz and Har Eva, where they had to stand up, Levarich, Eli Yamdu Levarich, so too the Brach of the Kohanim have to be Ba'amida. Either way, it's one of those two Hekeshes. And right after my underline, Ho of Iskish Brach Lesheris, etc., etc. Since it's a Hekesh, so it seems that it would require to be standing, and I couldn't care less if it's hard to stand. If you can't stand, so don't do Brichas Kohanim. If you can't do what you got to do, so you can't do it. Okay, so you're honest. If you don't have an esrog, you don't have to shake lulav. If a person is too weak to be able to stand for Brichas Kohanim, so he can't do Brichas Kohanim. Period. That's what it seems, he says. Ibra, however, right before the small words, Kadma Einin Shapir, when we look carefully in the Divrei HaPoskim, Lo Nira Kein, and then he goes through a Shaila Stira in the Rambam, which I don't want to go into. And based on that Stira in the Rambam, you know what he comes out to? He says, it must be the Rambam learned. Look at my underlined line after the small letters. The Iskish Bracha L'Sheiros, that Hekish that we had between Duchening and Sheiros and serving in the Beis HaMikdash, that says that you have to stand, is only an, Rabbi Fein said before, it's only an Asmachta B'Yalmahi. This Hekish between two cases, between Duchening and Avodah the Beis HaMikdash, there's a Hekish, that's not a Hekish Midorais, that's just an Asmachta B'Yalma. Hekesh means, Hekesh is not, it's not, there could be different forms of a Hekesh. You could have a Hekesh that's two Psukim, Pasuk A next to Pasuk B. You could have a Hekesh that within one Pasuk, it's two words that are next to each other. There's a third type of Hekesh where you could have a Hekesh where it's the same word used in two different places, which is, I think, what we have, which is similar to a Gzer Shava. Gzer Shava is more complicated because Gzer Shava, there has to be a Masora. On a Gzer Shava, we know that this word, from Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that this word is to be darshaned as a Gzer Shava. Sometimes a Gzer Shava is even stronger if it's an unnecessary word, it's an extra word. So Hekesh doesn't have that stringency, so it's a little weaker. So sometimes it's a Din D'Oraisa, sometimes it's a Asmachta B'Alma. Here, that's what we have in front of our faces. Tosas says it's a Din D'Oraisa, and therefore there's no point in Duchening, and he wants to be Medayik from the Ram, which again we're not going through how he gets that, but he comes out, and this is the conclusion of the Shevos Yaakov, that the Hekesh to stand is only a Din Drabana, is only a Hekesh Smachta Bialma, Midaraisa, you don't have to stand, Midarabana, it's only a Drabana, you have to stand. And therefore, if you have a Mitzvah Daraisa, you have this old man sitting in the wheelchair, no mum, and we said even if he has a mum, that's no problem, he's just a weak guy sitting in a wheelchair, he can't stand up. So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa for him to duchen, and there's a mitzvah d'rabbana that he should stand. Well, if he can't do the standing the ideal way and fulfill the d'rabbana d'ika mal use of standing, so okay, so let him sit. At least he can fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa of duchening. That's the conclusion of the while he's sitting. That's the conclusion of the Shavuos Yaakov. So if we finish the shiur tonight, we would come out right here, if we stopped here, but we're not, we're going to go three more minutes. If we stopped here, we would say, Mum is not a problem. You could duchen even with Yav Mum. Standing, that's the Asmachta B'Alma. It's a Hekesh, learned that from a Hekesh. Asmachta B'Alma, it's just a nice thing, Darabanan. You can't do a Darabanan, so at least do the Daraisa and duchen from your chair. Duchen from the wheelchair. That's what the Shavuos Yaakov would conclude. And look what he says. Such a cute reference right before Source 17. Vafal Pisha in Raya Ladav on page 4, right before source 17, he says, I'll bring you a puzzle that you all know, and you'll see what it says. Where is there in the Torah a puzzle that talks about a person who's old and weak and can't get up, but nevertheless gives a bracha? No. That's right. Afal Pisha in Raya Ladav, Zech Ladav, Mi Yaakov, Kedichsiv, Vayishchazek Yisrael, Vayeshav Al Hamita. He girded, he strengthened his right. He really would have liked to stand, presumably. Yeah. But he sat up on his bed, by Yavarech, and he gave, of course, he's not a Kohen. He's hundreds of years before the concept of a Kohen exists. But nevertheless, you see an idea. Fine. Comes another Behuda. not as far as B'nai Aaron and Kosvarchus and the Mitzvah of Duchene. Right, you're right, Malki said that, because the Kohen earlier than he. Right. Look at source number 17. Cousin should know the Shas should know the Yehuda, and he's asked a different question. Not about a wheelchair, but a guy who shakes. Somebody whose hands shakes. Now, I think that's probably a pretty distracting thing. That's probably, you know, if somebody's hands shake and they lift their hands up. I remember when I was in the mirror, my Masada Kedushim, Rasen Tzvi Finkelzatzal, some of you have probably remember, might have met him or encountered him. He had Parkinson's, thank you. And he shook terribly. And when he used to give Shir Klali, it was very, very incredibly distracting. He did something about his distractions. He had one hand that was okay, and his left hand, I think, if I remember correctly, shook violently. What he would do during the Shir, sometimes he would stick his left hand under the crook of his right hand and with his to hold it in place, and with his right hand do the thumb, you know, the thumb movements of giving a shear. Because he knew it was distracting. And that's the biggest proof, it was distracting. Not only that, but his left leg also, you know, was wildly jerking back and forth. And he would hold himself up, he would give shear, stand in front with his notes, if he had a note, or Gemara, a stand on his right, a stand on his left. Sometimes he'd be holding himself up on the right and left of the stender, and he'd wrap his one leg around the other leg, so as though he's really standing only one leg, but the other leg is sort of holding the other leg in place, because he realized that it was distracting. So I saw it with my own eye, and he gave Shir Klali like that. That was his regular Shir Klali, weekly, every week, like that. So somebody who's shaking, that's distracting. Is that a psul? Look at the shayla that was asked. That's exactly the shayla in the Nodu Yehuda. 17. Al Dvar HaKohen, there's a shayla, Nodu Yehuda, Mardu HaKama, or Chaim Simen Hei, the beginning of the Sefer. Al Dvar HaKohen, She Yodov Mirasisos, Ve'enu Yocholag Bi Yodov, I think Mirasisos means they're shaking, he can't lift them up. So, could he do Nesias Kapayim without Nesias Kapayim, right? Could you have, you know, there used to be the advertisement for pizza without the cheese? Or getting married without being in love? Here you have Nesias Kapayim without Nesias Kapayim. Could you do the Duchening without raising your hands? So, first he talks about, you know, maybe if there's a minhag that they don't stick your hands in, if he sticks his hands in to cover his own hands, well, he's changing the minhag because he looks different because he is covering his hands. If he's in a place where everybody covers their hands, so maybe that would be okay. Now look at the second paragraph. He has the idea. The person who asked the shayla has the following suggestion. I will reject the svara that you suggested. You should make supports. The shoal had an idea to take supports, attach them to the hat, the kohen's hat, and stick your hands into these supports. You can only picture this. Like, take a porcelino, cut a hole in it, stick in some kind of, you know, tube, stick your arms. He's going to stick his arms through the tube, through the porcelino, keep his hands, you know, locked in place, and they'll be extended upwards based on, you know, his some kind of hat and contraption. And he says, yes, you solved the problem. You won the battle, but you lost the war. You made the hands stand up, but you're making yourself more of a spectacle than ever before. And therefore, look what he says. We're not talking about standing here. Here we're speaking about the lifting up of the hands itself. That din of lifting up the hands. The siyas kapayim afilu di eved. Even if there's no other way, it's either you give a bracha without lifting your hands, or you don't give a bracha at all. You know what? It's ma'akev. U'kishem sham mida ma'akev afil b'diavad kachnu siyas kapayim. The Gemara learned all of these halachas together. The halacha of standing, the halacha of being audible, kol ram, the halacha of lifting the hands up. These are all halachas that are learned out from one pasuk. In the same context, and they're all daraisa. The requirement to lift your hands is daraisa, and so to the requirement to stand is daraisa. And therefore, he assumes it's a hekesh gomor, as the next underline points out, and it's not just, it's a din daraisa, and it's ma'akev, and therefore, there's no other option. If a person can't stand, and a person can't lift his hands up, there's no point in duchening. Okay? So first of all, two questions. A, we have Machlokes, Shus Yaakov, and Nodu Yehuda. Nodu Yehuda is being very machmir. So who do we pass like? B, okay, what happens if he can't stand, but he could lean? Look on the bottom. Not the bottom underline, but the second to last underline. Gam bezeh shaga hashvus Yaakov shehita amida idei smich. The Shvus Yaakov said you could lean. Koza, that's all according to his own mistake. Lefita uso, because he assumed that it's only a mitzvah lechatchila to stand. So if you can't stand, you're leaning. The Shvus Yaakov said, okay, we'll be lenient. But according to me, what I'm saying, that it's absolutely necessary, mida oraisa, and it's ma'akev, even leaning will not suffice. And therefore, if a person cannot stand on their own, there will not be any duchening for that person. How do we paskin? The Shvus Yaakov said it's a hekesh, bialma, it's just not smachta bialma, derabana, and it's a lechatchila. And another Yehudi here is saying, no, it's a din d'oraisa, it's ma'akev. What do? We open up the Mishnah Berurah. Let's finish off the shir now. It says the Mishnah Berurah in source number on the page 5, which is the first time we have a 5-page shir. That's because we didn't read all the Nidov Yehudas and Shvus Yaakovs. The Shulchan Aruch says four halachas that duchening has to be ba'amida, it has to be with lifting up of the hands, it has to be b'kol ram, audible, able to hear, and a fourth one I forget. And says the Mishnah on all those four halachos, kol zehu min haTorah. We learn them all from the pasuk. And also he brings the hekesh that we learned from. That you have to stand up, just like there's a hekesh to the psukim that you have to stand up for avoda, so you have to stand up for giving a bracha. The kasu after in the third line of source number 18, Mishnah Berurah and Siman Kuf Chav Ches Sifkat Nun, third line. The kasu rov haposim v'kimat kulam tahani kulu, all these dinim of standing up, of lifting your arms up, liikuvahu va'afilu b'di eved lo yatzu ba'ofen acher. Who is he paskening like? He's paskening l'chomer like the Nodeb Yehuda against the Shvus Yaakov. He's saying that all these things are dinim d'oraisa and they are me'akev. He's saying that's what the vast majority of poskim say. So what is this Kohen going to do? This guy in our shul, b'kol el tosha yetsa. It's better that he should go out. Kodem ritzei k'she'en yachal levarich kedin. If he can't do it properly, he should not get himself into this machlokas of the Shvus Yaakov, and they should wheel him out before it says, so as not to be in this situation where, according to Mikra, then he feels you shouldn't, but the Shvus Yaakov says you would. You know, you're sort of stuck in a, you're stuck just to hinge the hair, because according to Shvus Yaakov, you have a mitzvah daraisa to duchen. According to the other one, you have an issa daraisa to duchen. So avoid it. But he is passing lachachm like the Nodeb Yehuda that you shouldn't. That it's a din d'oraisa to stand, and if you can't stand, you can't raise your arms, then you don't duchen. However, there's one saving grace. In source Nun Beis, he quotes, he says the same words, the story. He doesn't quote the Nodeb Yehuda, but he says the whole story that he got from the Nodeb Yehuda, a guy whose hands are shaking. They want to make this hat contraption with the supports to lift up their hands. But look what he says. I underlined it. Achim efshar lo lahagbiyam l'shamu etes yagbiyah b'shas aminras yivarachicha v'yaniach b'shas anigun. Right? We have the chazan here. That's not brichas kohanim. That's singing. That's singing. What's brichas kohanim? If he could lift his hands yivarachicha, put them down. When it's his turn, you could just put his hands up for the words of the bracha that he himself is saying, and that's all. That would be enough to put up your hands. Presumably, I would assume, for standing also. If you, again, to plop up and down, if you have a very old guy in a wheelchair, it might not be so easy to plop up and down 12 times. 15 times. 15 times to plop up and down, it might not be so easy. But if you want to just have to lift up your hand 15 times, that might be doable. Let's finish off with this shaila that was asked to Rav Yaakov Yisrael Fisher. He was the Rav of Zichron Moshe, right? He was a great, he passed away 20 years ago. It was a great Gedolei Yerushalayim. What's his shaila? His shaila is the shaila of my uncle that I told you about. Unfortunately, there's a Kohen who went up on a mine. And unfortunately, Achmel Tzlan, the bottom part of his foot was blown off. He's a Kohen. Could he? Oh, so they made him a prosthetic device a prosthesis on the bottom of his foot. So with that, he could walk, he could stand. The question is, could he go to the Duchen? Let's just review everything right now. It's a mum. 1,000% that's a mum. But we concluded what? We concluded the fact that somehow a Kohen has a mum, he might not be able to do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, but he's still a Kohen, we concluded. And therefore he can do Avodah. What's left? The fact that he has to be able to stand, which we say you do have to stand. Oh, but wait a second. He could stand, but only on one leg. Is that called standing? So in the middle paragraph, I underline, V'yachol amol ha-ragel achas avodas ha-kshor. He shows a proof from avoda, which is of course the most severe, the most chomer, from avoda itself in the Beis HaMikdash, there's a din amida, it has to be standing. He proves, wherever he proves it from, that a kohen, it does the avoda Beis HaMikdash, standing on one foot, that's called amida. Oh, so maybe he could do this. Maybe we could get mum. We're not worried about mumin. Standing, he's standing on one foot. That's okay. So therefore, anyway, he concludes in the last paragraph. Kol din hamidahu b'shah she'omer hakohen yivarechecha. Only the kohen himself is issuing the bracha from his mouth. Aval bevaday b'shah she'achazan omer eno tzarech lamo. When the chazan's singing, we love the chazan's singing, but the kohen doesn't have to stand for that. And therefore, if he could rest on his anything, even though that's not standing, right? Resting or being someh is not standing. But all he has to do is rest on a shtender or on his fake foot, maybe, on his second foot. And then when he has to say the Yivarechecha, he just has to shift his weight to his healthy foot, say Yivarecha, and then he could lean again. And that's what the Rak of Yisrael Fisher, the Dayan Fisher, suggests as a way to enable this Kohen who had his foot blown off, which be zochet to have health, to have strength, and the Kohanim should have health and strength, and all the brachas should be mekuyim, Be'ezus Hashem. Thank you all for coming. And Baruch Hashem, we went through all the Marmakom, we went through the whole thing. I didn't think we would.